All right, turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. I'm going to read one verse to get us started today. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's pray. Father, we come to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I beg you this morning for the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Please, Lord, guide my lips, guide my mouth, guide my thoughts. And Lord, may I preach your word in power. May you do a work in our hearts. Help us to understand, truly, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to talk about the number one fear this morning, the number one fear that we should have. Number one fear, of course, is the fear of the Lord. Now, we're all familiar with the different phobias that are out there. You may not be familiar with all of them. Some of them will not shock you. Some have problems, perhaps, with claustrophobia. And that means you have a fear of closed-in places. Or acrophobia, which is a fear of heights. Anybody have a fear of heights? Would you raise your hand? A few have got fear of heights, okay. Then there's the mysophobia, which is a fear of dirt. Very few children have that. There's the arithmophobia, which is the fear of numbers. A lot of kids in school have that problem right there, fear of numbers. Then there's the genuphobia, which is a fear of knees. I've never heard of anybody having a fear of knees before. But somebody does because they got a name for it, genuphobia. Then there's the trypophobia, which is a fear of holes. Does anybody have that? Does anybody know anybody that has that? A fear of holes. You can't eat a donut. I mean, those people would put Bigfoot donuts out of business, wouldn't they? It'd be in bad shape. Then there's the agoraphobia, which is a fear of fear. Just a fear of fear. Now, there are a lot of other fears. I was going through the list. Some of them I'm not giving you because I don't think I could pronounce them anyway. If you look on the internet, there are a number of lists of things that people fear. There's one particular list that, surprisingly enough, death is number 7 on the list of things that people fear. Number 1 is public speaking. Is that not amazing? Yet we talk all the time. We talk on our phones all the time. And we Skype. We use WhatsApp, all kinds of things like that. But we fear those things. But the main fear that we ought to have at the very beginning is theophobia. And that's a fear of God. How important is it? Well, the Bible makes it very plain here. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You can talk about having an education all you want, but if you don't have a fear of the Lord, you're a dummy. You are maybe smart and all kinds of other things, but if you don't have the right fear, of course, you can only end up hurting people with that. Over 45 times in our Bible, the Bible tells us to fear God. 9 of those times we find it in the New Testament. Our responsibility is the same. Old Testament or New Testament, we are to fear the Lord. Now, sometimes fear can be very deadly. I read this story. They said it was true. I don't know if it was true. I probably read it on the internet, and I trust about none of that anyway. But it was about a guy who was hitchhiking, and this guy who was driving a truck happened to have a casket in the back of it. And he said, you can have a ride, but you're going to have to sit in the back. And so he sat in the back. Well, the guy drove for a little while. It began to rain. And so this man who had gotten the ride got into the casket, shut the door so he could get some sleep. And while he was asleep, the guy driving the truck stopped for 2 other people who wanted a ride. They went down the road a little bit. It had stopped raining. The man in the casket had had a nice little nap. He opened up the casket door and said, well, it stopped raining. And both those guys jumped out of the truck. One of them supposedly died. Fear can be a very dangerous thing, of course. Then there's the legend of the Arab chief that he would give a choice to criminals on what their punishment should be. They could have the firing squad, or they could go through the big black door. Everybody chose the firing squad. And what they didn't know was on the other side of the big black door was freedom. But that fear of the unknown, they would choose the firing squad. 1 John tells us that perfect love casteth out fear. Now, it does not cast out the fear of the Lord, for sure. I need not fear threats. My God watches over me. And there's a lot going on in the world, but hey, my God still watches over me. We can plan on his care. God does take care of us. That doesn't mean that we're going to have everything that we want. It doesn't mean that we're going to have the largest group of watchers on our web blog or anything like that at all. But the Bible does say this in Psalm 89 and verse 7, the Lord is greatly to be feared in the assembly of his saints. You find some statements concerning Israel in the Old Testament, and they feared not the Lord. And in some cases of the heathen, and they feared not the Lord. And here he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The scripture declares, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Interesting statement, and yet obviously we live in a day where very few people fear the Lord. So I want to preach on that for just a little bit. We'd ask the question, what is the fear of the Lord? What is he talking about? It's to realize that God is the final authority. You are going to answer to someone who is going to hold you accountable. He's going to hold you accountable for what you do. He's going to hold you accountable for what you say. He's going to hold you accountable for what you don't do. The Bible says, so then every one of us should get an account of himself to God. He is supreme. His word is final. And you might have a lawyer that fast talks a judge down here and gets you out of punishment, but there is no fast talking God. He is absolutely sovereign, supreme, and he knows everything. We are totally subject to him and to his dictates. To disobey those commands is to leave ourselves, and I want you to get this, deserving and receiving the consequences of our actions or our inactions. Now, see if I can give you an example of that. Growing up in the Allison household in Sturgis, Michigan, which is where I was brought up, the reality is I never, one time, ever sassed my mother. I never called her the old lady. I never used a word disparaging her in any way, because I knew that she would tell my dad. And I feared my dad. I knew that he had ways of cleaning my clock. Now, my dad was not a Christian, but a Christian dad still ought to instill that kind of fear in his children. Now, you don't do that by beating them up. But I got news for you. If things are done right, it will sure watch the mouth of a lot of young people. You see, in this progressive age, there are a lot of people, unfortunately, in churches who think that it is cute for a child to talk back or show no respect to another parent or to their grandparents. And that's just wicked, according to the scriptures. When I was with my friends and we get alone with them, there are times we'd say things, as you did with your friends, no doubt. But man, you had to make sure that you only, of course, you could hold one another into account by saying, you tell on me, I'll tell on you. But that's the only time that I was, but I still wouldn't say anything about my mom, because I knew my dad wouldn't put up with it. The interesting thing about that, my mom and dad got divorced when I was a senior in high school. They come home drinking, cursing one another and all of that. But I still, my dad would never let me get away with something like that. Never. We live in such a decadent age. Proper fear is good. In school, I feared the teacher seeing me do something wrong, because I knew they'd tell my dad. My dad had this rule. You get a spanking at school, you get one at home. You get two for the price of one. How about that? And you know, I only had to have one lesson to learn that. I didn't want that. I wasn't that hard to get along with. Proverbs 16:6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Why is that? Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The reality is that the fear of the Lord can keep you straight. You see, isn't it funny? We have had to become a camera society. 20 years ago, they said over in England that you would be on camera 300 times a day because of the closed circuit pictures that would be shown. They had cameras all over the place. Well, guess what? That's in America today. And hey, walk down the halls of Madison Baptist Church. And on one Sunday, you'll probably be on 300 cameras. Why do we have to do that? Because people will not do right on their own. I'm talking about in the church house. They won't do right. You know one of the main reasons why we have cameras? I don't want someone to hurt one of our young people. And if it happens, I want to know who did it. Because they're likely to do it unless they fear getting caught. Well, guess what? God catches everybody. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall love the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall love the Spirit reap life everlasting. In Numbers 32:23, he declares, be sure your sin will find you out. The Bible says, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God far off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Jeremiah 23:23-24. God sees all. You cannot hide from him. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, art acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word in my tongue, but thou, O Lord, knowest it altogether. He knows what you want to say. He knows what you're going to say. He hears you say it. And every idle word you'll be called to give an account for. That's what Jesus said in the book of Matthew. So we see what the fear of the Lord is. Well, why is the fear of the Lord important? According to the verse that we read, it is the beginning of knowledge. Now, I know there are a number of you, you have guns, and I've got some guns too, and all that, and most all of them I have, people have given me over the years. I'll be honest with you, I don't enjoy shooting them all that much. Some of you may enjoy it, and that's good, but if you don't have a fear of that gun, you've got no business with one. They do kill, and they don't care who they kill. Do you understand that? Say, well, guns don't kill, people do. I know sometimes it's stupid people who do, because they didn't fear what the gun can do. You know, the main thing that should be taught, you need to realize that at any time it could go off. And when that bullet comes out, it doesn't care who it's pointed at. And if you miss what you're aiming at, it doesn't stop. It keeps going. See, a person that doesn't understand that has no business having a gun, a loaded gun around. And get this, there have been an awful lot of people killed with unloaded guns. I don't mean hit over the head. A gun they thought was unloaded happened to be loaded. Every gun's loaded. And you have to treat every gun as though it's loaded. You're looking at somebody else's gun. What's the first thing you do? You clear it. Before you begin fooling with anything. Obvious. See, a lot of people have been killed by them simply because people have no respect. You want to see a bunch of idiots? Get on YouTube. And you can see a bunch of jerks that were very, very lucky that they didn't kill themselves or kill somebody else because they did not have a proper fear. Well, that's just a gun. And it is limited in its power and in its scope. But God says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You're going to go through life. As you go through life, you're going to impact other people's lives. You need to have an understanding about that. The Word of God tells us that our very words have an impact upon other people. for good or for evil. And you'll give an account for that to God. You see, it's the beginning of knowledge. That's what's missing in public education. There's no fear of the Lord. There's the fear of losing their job. There's the fear of a principal, the fear of government, or the fear of some of the parents of the students that are out there. But there's no fear of God. Public education, over 70,000 assaults, plus dope peddling, immorality, filthy language. Why do teenage drivers account for so many deaths? They have no respect for the car and what it can do to them. You see, nobody began with the beginning of knowledge in our public education system. That's the problem. It's not there. Young people are not taught to fear the Lord. Why? It's against the law for them to teach to fear the Lord. You kick God out of the system and then you wonder, where's God? When another mass shooting takes place, well, you kicked him out. That's on you. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's how to use the knowledge that you have. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In Psalm 111 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. In Proverbs 15, beginning in verse 31, he says, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So he says it's the beginning of knowledge, but wait, look at that verse again, more than that. Not only is it the beginning of knowledge, but at the end of verse 7, he says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I thought about preaching tonight. I don't think I'm going to do it, but I thought about preaching tonight on the simple, fools, scorners, and the wise. You want to do an interesting study. Look at the verses that have one of those four terms in it in the book of Proverbs, or throughout the book of Proverbs. There are the simple, that's those who don't know a whole lot. They're simple. And God says that we're to be simple concerning evil and wise concerning the good. We're teaching our kids to know all about evil before they ever become adults. And that was never God's plan. So you got the simple, you got the fools. By the way, no matter what you say to a fool, you're a loser. He says, answer a fool according to his folly. And then the next verse says, answer not a fool according to his folly. Because you can't win however you answer a fool. Fools despise wisdom and knowledge. Fools aren't going to learn. And then there's the scorners. And if you rebuke a scorner, you get a blot. That's what the scripture says. Because scorners are not only not going to take your wisdom, but they're going to do what they can to slander you and slam you. That's what scorners do. But then there are the wise. Who are the wise? The wise are those who fear the Lord. It's important because it reaches to what life is all about. You know, we don't have long on this planet. I mean, we're here, 3 score and 10. Some of us get into overtime for a few years, but it's not very long. And usually we're so decrepit by then we can't do much. I mean, you move. I am. I mean, everything that works hurts, and what doesn't hurt isn't working, so you're not moving. That's pretty much the way it is. You know, it's a funny thing. I remember when I was a young preacher, and of course we had our first daughter, and I get up and preach, and you preach on parenting and raising children and so on. They say, well, just wait until he gets a little older. He doesn't know anything about it. And then your kids get grown, and you end up with good kids, and loving the Lord and serving the Lord, and you preach on parenting, and they say, hey, things are different today. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Truth is, a preacher can't win in that one, you know, no matter what you do. So I just stick to the book and see what the book says. By the way, the world doesn't like the book. Society doesn't like the book. They don't like what it has to say about anything. But we don't have long in this planet. We begin with diapers. And sometimes we end that way. It all depends. Couldn't help myself. So we see what it is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We see why it's important. But what does it do? In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 27, the scripture says, "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened." How many have died early because of alcohol? Well, God says a lot about alcohol in the scripture. He warns us about it, not to touch it, not to look upon it. As a matter of fact, he even pronounces a curse upon those who give it to others in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 15. How many have died early because of promiscuous living? How many have died early simply because they did wrong or weren't paying attention? They didn't pay attention to God's word. You'll simply live longer if you fear the Lord. It prolongeth your days. I think it means more than that, though. I think the fear of the Lord, it not only prolongs your day in that you'll live longer, but it prolongs your days in that you'll be able to accomplish so much more during the days that you've got. If you fear the Lord, you won't go through life wasting your life if you fear the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 6, I want you to turn over there to it. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 1 through 3. Here's wisdom for parents, by the way, and children. In Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth." It prolongeth your days. But parents, right after saying that, he gives an admonition to you. He says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of" who? Of the Lord, not Facebook. Proverbs 14:26, "The fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge." It gives confidence knowing that things that are right. You face the day bright. You look back at Adam after the fall. Why, after eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and every day since his creation, he had had great communion with God, but now he's disobeyed God. And where do we find him? We find he and Eve hiding from the face of the Lord. No confidence. Then walked with God every day. Every day. They saw him every day. They got to talk to him. But now they were scared to death. How many times I've seen people drop out of church or start missing. And listen, apart from sickness, it's always because they've made some bad choices and they're ashamed. I remember we had one family, not here in this church, there's another church that I pastored. They got saved. The dad got saved. Mama got saved. The kids got saved. Man, they were excited. They were so excited about God. We had a revival meeting not too long after they got saved. And in the revival meeting, he packed two pews full of people. I mean, buddy, he got his friends. He got everybody else out there. He got a bunch of them. But then he got into tobacco, and then he got into smoking, and we didn't hear him at all. You see, he couldn't hide it from his kids, and they got down for family devotions one night, and his boy said to him when it came time to pray, "Well, Dad, you can't pray. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." And so he just dropped out of church. Instead of getting right about his sin, he just dropped out. Sin always does that. Sin will lead you away from God. In Proverbs 14:27, the Bible declares, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death." In chapter 19 and verse 23, "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil." If a person fears the Lord, he will trust Jesus Christ as his Savior. Does the Bible say that? Well, here's what it says. Psalm 85 and verse 9. "Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land." Now, as you know, I was brought up in a home of drinking and cursing, and truly the only time we heard the name Jesus growing up was as curse words. That's how I grew up using his name. And when I was 21 years of age, I began to find out who the God of heaven really was, according to the Bible. Who Jesus is, God himself, who took upon himself flesh to come and die to pay for my sins. That he was the only Savior. He said, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. And the Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I began to realize that, hey, I wasn't a good guy, that all my good works were going to outweigh the bad when I got to heaven, but I was on my way to hell. Guess what? I feared the Lord. Because I feared the Lord, I didn't want to die and go to hell. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've heard some really ignorant people say, well, I'm not going to trust God out of fear. Hey, that's the beginning of knowledge. That's the beginning of wisdom. You're just a big dummy. To know that God says that you're lost, you're undone, you're on your way to hell, and your only escape is Jesus Christ. And to say, well, I'm not going to come out of fear. You see, it's only when you realize that he is holy and you deserve his judgment that you can even begin to understand what the scripture says when it says God is love. That God before whom we have sinned and sinned against loved us so much that he took our place on Calvary and died for our sin. As much as God hates sin, he took our death for us so we could have eternal life in him. So when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the only hope. If a person fears the Lord, he will trust Christ as Savior. So we've seen what it is, why it's important, and what it does. What is the proof of the fear of God? In chapter 8 and verse 13 of the book of Proverbs, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is to hate. I'm going to read that again. The fear of the Lord is to hate. You understand? There are some things we're supposed to hate. The fear of the Lord is to hate pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. You see, the truth is the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And the proof of you fearing the Lord is you hating evil. Whatever God says is evil to him, you're going to hate what is evil to God. That's the fear of the Lord. It says in Psalm 97 and verse 10, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. So whether you fear the Lord, love the Lord, or both fear and love the Lord, you will hate evil. If you don't hate evil, you don't fear God, you don't love God. But if you truly do fear the Lord and love the Lord, you're going to hate evil. I didn't give you that whole verse. He that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of the saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Love of the Lord and fear of the Lord has exactly the same result. It's to hate evil. Let me ask you a question. Has God changed his mind on sin? He hasn't, has he? He feels about sin like he has always felt about sin. You would be wise to find out what the Word of God says about how God feels about something and just agree with God. So my life's verse is Psalm 119, 128. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Not some false ways. Well, I have respect for everybody's views. God doesn't. God doesn't have respect for everybody's views. He hates evil. And we are to hate evil as well. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So tell me, how do you feel about homosexuality? I know what God says about it. It's an abomination to him. How do you feel about drunkenness? It's an abomination to God. What about public nudity? It's an abomination to God. What about fornication? It's an abomination to God. What about adultery? It's an abomination to God. What about pride? It's an abomination to God. What about false gospels? They are abominations to God. They're cursed, God says. What about arrogancy? What about the evil way? What about the froward mouth? They are evil to God. And if you fear the Lord, you will hate each of those things. And God begins it by saying, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Do you understand that with God there is no compromise? Evil is evil is evil is evil. God does not put evil up for a vote. God's already decided. It's amazing how many countries want to approve the things that God calls evil and then wonder if God's on their side. No, he's not. God's on his side. His side is laid out for us right there in the scripture. So you've got countries like up in Canada. Well, thank the Lord, at least in most of the church houses, you can preach the word of God, but you go outside the church house and do it, you're going to be arrested. You go to England and you preach outside the church and preach, thus saith the Lord, you'll be arrested. As a matter of fact, there are numbers of countries all over this world where if you go outside where just anybody in the public can hear you, you are going to jail, and it'll be that way here soon. But that's not going to change God nor his word. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Question today, do you fear the Lord? I mean, really fear the Lord. If so, you'll hate evil. If you love the Lord, you'll hate evil. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Have you begun to be smart? I heard a professor at University of Tennessee in Chattanooga. I was out visiting one day. And of all things, this guy was the professor of New Testament Greek at the University of Tennessee. I knocked on his door and began to try to witness to him. I figured, you know, hey, here we are in the South, professor of New Testament Greek. Surely this guy must have a respect for the Word of God. But I didn't talk to him long, only to find out that he had no respect for what God said in his Word, what God said about a Savior, only one Savior, what God said about being born again. And so I left him with this quote, and the quote was found in the book of 1 Corinthians when it says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And then I left. That next Sunday, I was just visiting with one of the little kids' classrooms, a little kindergarten classroom in our Sunday school. And it's amazing how many of those kids were smarter than that professor. They had a fear of God. He filled his head with a bunch of stuff, but he forgot the beginning of knowledge. Didn't know how to use it. Think about that. Studying New Testament Greek all your life only to die and go to hell. That's what happens when you don't have a fear of God. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Dear God, deal with hearts today. This is such a foundational, fundamental truth. As you said in Ecclesiastes 12, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Lord, I pray you deal with our hearts. If there's one here that's never been born again, may they realize the truth of your word. If they die in that condition without being born again, they will go to hell, where they will burn for eternity with absolutely no escape. I pray for those that are watching over the internet. Father, if they've not been born again, that right now, right where they're at, they would cry out to you. Beg your forgiveness, take Christ as their Savior, receive that free gift of eternal life. Lord, deal with Christians here. Some who seem to have no fear of God. None. Or it would definitely change their lifestyle. Lord, please, deal with hearts today. And we'll thank you as you move upon everyone, for we ask it in Jesus' name.